This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave, in for Terry Gross. This Sunday, actors Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick take their final bows as Max Bialystock and Leo Bloom, the lead characters in the hit Mel Brooks Broadway show, The Producers. The story is about a washed-up theater producer, Max Bialystock, and his accountant, Leo Bloom. They figure out that under the right circumstances, a producer could make more money with a flop than a hit. Here's their scheme.
Don't you see, Bloom? Darling Bloom, glorious Bloom. It's so simple. Step one, we find the worst play ever written. Step two, we hire the worst director in town. Step three, I raise $2 million.
Two?
Yes, one for me, one for you. There's a lot of little old ladies out there. Step four, we hire the worst actors in New York and open on Broadway. And before you can say step five, we close on Broadway. Take our $2 million and go to Rio.
Rio? Nah, that'd never work.
Oh, ye of little faith. What did Lewis say to Clark when everything looked bleak? What did Sir Edmund say to Tenzing as they struggled toward Everest Peak? What did Washington say to his troops as they crossed the Delaware? I'm sure you're well aware.
What'd they say?
We can do it. We can do it. We can do it, me and you. We can do it. We can do it. We can make our dreams come true. Everything you've ever wanted is just waiting to be had. Beautiful girls wearing nothing but pearls, caressing you, undressing you, and driving you mad. We can do it. We can do it. This is not the time to shirk. We can do it. You won't rue it. Say goodbye to Petty Clerk. Hi, producer. Yes, producer. I mean you, sir. Go berserk. We can do it. We can do it. And I know it's gonna work. What do you say, Bloom?
The Producers has won a record 12 Tony Awards, including Best Musical and Best Actor for Nathan Lane. Next week, Henry Goodman takes over the Max Bialystock role, and Steven Weber becomes Leo Bloom. In a little while, we'll hear an interview with Matthew Broderick, but first a conversation Terry recorded with Nathan Lane. He's appeared in the films The Birdcage, Frankie and Johnny, and the animated features The Lion King and Stuart Little. On Broadway, he starred in the revival of Guys and Dolls. Terry spoke with Nathan Lane in 1994 when he was starring in Neil Simon's comedy Laughter on the 23rd Floor. She asked him if the laughs came at the same place every night.
No, that's sort of the amazing and wonderful thing about the theater. It changes every night. And some nights it's raucous and it's amazing how a large group of people just take on a personality. And there was, like, last night there was a lady in the audience who was, I don't know, she was giving birth. I don't know what she was doing. She was screaming. She was doing her own show. And, you know, sometimes that's infectious, and sometimes it just alienates 1,299 other people. And sometimes they think they're being helpful, and they're not. And it's so weird because, you know, someone can cough on a key word, and then the moment is gone, or the laugh is gone.
Can you recognize personality types now by the type of laugh that they have?
Personality types?
Uh-huh.
Well, there's the cougher's laugh. There's the guys that go, ha! There's the people who want to know, let everyone know that they got the joke. Ah, that was good. Ah, good. Yeah, I'm from Bayonne. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. People are funny.
tell us something about your early years, Nathan Lane, the early years. You grew up in New Jersey. It's a good place to start. Tell us something about your family.
My family? Oh, my family is, look up dysfunctional in the dictionary. Their picture is there. They're all waving. Yeah. I come from, don't make me do this. Don't make me go there. Don't make me see the pain. Yeah, my family is, I have two older brothers. What can I tell you about them? I was born and raised in Jersey City.
What did your parents
do
for a living?
Poor but boring family. Uh-huh. What? What
did your parents do for a living?
My father was a truck driver. My mother was a secretary and a manic depressive. And but really, manic depression took up most of her time.
Were you the wisecracking kid?
Was I the wisecracking kid? What do you think, Terry?
Oh, I think it's possible.
What do you think? Yes, I was the wisecracking kid. Yeah, well, what did Abe Lincoln say? If I didn't laugh, I'd cry. My childhood was tough. My father died when I was about 11. He was an alcoholic, and actually my mother did go through manic depression for many years, but it made her a colorful character in the neighborhood. And then finally, she was put on lithium, that wonderful drug.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of sort of balances you out. I always thought if I took it, would I become an accountant and move to Ohio?
Did it help
It's
her?
A joke, Terry. Work with me. So, anyway, the family is very happy now. They're all fine now. And it was really my older brother, Dan, who got me interested in the theater. He's a teacher, and he would take his classes over to plays in New York, and he would take me with him, and that's how I got interested in the theater, and eventually I moved to New York and became a struggling, starving actor. You know, had all those strange jobs you have to do to
Such
make
as?
A living. Well, I used to deliver singing telegrams, Happy hysterectomy, happy hysterectomy, it was like ridiculous. And people hate when you deliver singing telegrams. And I did this for a very long time. Congratulations, Shirley, your stretch marks hardly show. And it was terrible.
Who wrote the songs?
They did. They would tell them whatever the occasion was, and they would set it to a popular tune, or one that was you didn't have to pay any royalties on. And then I used to sell TV Guide by phone. I used to do those surveys, the Harris Poll surveys, and what else? That was about it. I never waited on tables, so I just couldn't do that. I don't know why. I just thought of serving people. I don't know. I just couldn't do it.
I think your big break came when you started working with playwright Terrence McNally, who.
No, I was pretty successful before him.
Were you?
Sure, I was on Broadway with George C. Scott at Present Laughter.
Was that before that?
Oh, yeah. Oh. And I did a play with Simon Gray called The Common Pursuit. And, so I had a television series. I know, he likes to think he took me out of the gutter. But no, I'd done a couple of things before I met him. But yes, thank God I did, because... It certainly really did turn things around for me when we did a play of his called The Lisbon Traviata.
You've been in your share of flops, too.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. How does it feel to be in a flop? Do you get really, really depressed and insecure?
No, you feel great.
You feel great.
Because, there's nothing like living on the edge, knowing you're going down for the count. Yes, of course you're depressed. It's a flop. That's the big difference. If you're in a hit, you feel good. Flop, bad. Hits, good. Yes, that's what happens. You're depressed. But there's something, it's like being on the Titanic. There's nothing like the camaraderie of people in a flop, believe me. And I've certainly had my share.
Could you see it coming? The shows at
flop? Oh, sure. Sometimes the first day of rehearsal, you just look across the room and it all spells doom. It rhymed. Hey, I'm one of the poets you're interviewing. it's, yeah, you get it. There's something, I just saw this really strange movie the other night. I rented this movie because a woman in the video store recommended it. A total stranger said, "Have you seen Jennifer 8? And I said, "No." And she said, "Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant." And I rented it. And it was, you know, a bizarre movie. And this was sort of like a pretentious thriller. But one of my favorite line of the movie was one of the cops is talking about someone they're investigating. And he says, "I don't know. I sniff grief." "I sniff grief," he said. So that's what happens when you're in a flop.
Right.
Next time I'm in one, I'm going to say, "Hey, I sniff grief."
Nathan Lane from a 1994 interview. This is Fresh Air.